In so the book of Psalms, the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd of Israel, we will pray. I forgot to take the medicine, and I purposely did it so that I do not sleep on it. All right, let's pray together. Father, we come to the study of another picture of the Lord Jesus, these in the gorgeous book of Psalms. And we pray that as we look upon these, what's up? All right. Is that, no. Let me check my repertory here. They say on. Mic's on. Okay. You got the whole thing? The Lord stopped my prayer. All right, let's pray again. Lord, thank you. That we want to be so careful that other people can be able to listen to the glorious picture of Christ Jesus in the Old Testament. Bless us as we look to him in the book of Psalms. In Jesus we pray, amen. We are then to look upon Christ, and my assumption is the shepherd of Israel. Now, we go into our introduction in as we develop this. We're going to again pick up the pieces on the progression that we have. Genesis, Christ, the seed of the woman. Exodus, Christ, the Passover lamb. Then Leviticus, the high priest. Then the book of Numbers. Then Christ, the brazen serpent. Then the book of Deuteronomy, Christ, the prophet. Then the book of Joshua, Christ, the Savior of our soul. Then the book of Judges, the judge and lawgiver. Then the book of Ruth, the kinsman redeemer. I remember that. Then the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, the intercessor, because Samuel was a great intercessor. 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, the reigning king. Then the book of Ezra, they are faithful scribe. Then the book of Nehemiah and the builder of the wall. Then the book of Esther, Christ greater than Mordecai. Remember that. He was a great man. Then the book of Job, the healer of our soul. And I think I put the book of Proverbs over there, which is the wisdom of God. And then tonight, Psalms, the shepherd of Israel. Now, the topic for discussion is very simple and is the same. The book of Psalms and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we are focusing on the evening, trying to cover the entire Old Testament and get a picture of Christ, at least one, from each book of the Bible. Now, our next step is a general information which you know so well, and I go over again in the book of Luke, in chapter 24. And in verse 27, Jesus is talking to two disciples, and he makes an emphasis over there very, very cleverly and very openly. And he says that beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And actually, this is what we are doing in the evening. Look in all the scriptures, the things concerning Christ Jesus. Now in verse 44 of the same chapter of Luke, he's not talking to two, he's talking to 11 disciples, the group of his disciples. And in order to convince them that he is the Messiah, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, that's the first five books of the Bible, and in the prophets, that's the rest of the Bible, and in the Psalms. So the Hebrew divide the Bible in three: Moses, prophecy, the entire rest of the Bible, except the book of Psalms that goes into their own category. Now, there is another scripture in the Gospel of John in chapter 5 and in verse 39. Now, Jesus is not talking to disciples. He's talking to his own enemies, the Pharisees, who were doctors of the law. They were lawyers in the Word of God. And the Bible said that he said to these lawyers, And this is the Father which will, has sent me. Let me see. I'm in the wrong scripture. I'm in 6, so be 5:39. This is a big Bible. Okay, here it is. Search the scripture, he says. Search the scripture. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Again, they were right in saying that the scripture brings eternal life, but the scripture testify about the Lord Jesus. The scripture that I really like it is in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10 in verse 7. This scripture speaks by itself that you can find Christ in every book of the Bible. In Hebrews 10 and in verse 7, the Bible said, "Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me." And what a great expression, in the volume of the book. Our Bible has 66 books, 66 volumes. And in that compound 66 books, we can find the Lord Jesus. And so, inspired by God's word, we're going to have the specific information into this. And the first specific information is the human authors of the book of Psalms. 73 Psalms belong to David. All right. How many Psalms do we have, Anthony? 150. Genius. 150. All right. And 73 belong to David. One Psalm belong to Moses. Number? What number is the Psalm belong to Moses? Number? Start with a 9. 90. All right. And the next one, one belong to Haggai. And the next one, Zechariah, one son belonged to him. And then the next one is the sons of Korah. Remember, they were, that was the people that direct the choir, 8 psalms. And then Ezra has one psalm. And then the choir director, that's how the Hebrew said, 65 psalms made by the choir director of David's temple. And so you have here the 150 psalms that belong. These are the human authors that God used. And the book of Psalms is not the authorship of one man, but as you see, about half of them is David, and the rest different men that God used. Now, number two, two kinds of psalms we find, and two groups of kinds of psalms in these. Number one, the first kind is in the form of prayer. And if you like to know how to pray, read the book of Psalms through about a year. Takes about, 5 months to go through if you go a chapter a day. And so you can be through in 1 year, you can do twice the book of Psalms. And mark those Psalms, they are for prayer. Because I tell you, you learn to pray and you learn to cry. When somebody tell me, you cannot pray for physical or material things because the God is sovereign and so on. And David prayed, I know the God's children will never lack bread in their table, in one of their prayers. You know, you just get informed. You want a book of prayer, don't buy it in the Christian bookstore. Just read the book of Psalms and mark the prayer. So about half of the Psalms are directed to prayer. And the other, the second, is an account of David's life. It's like a testimony. David gave a testimony of what's right and what's wrong with him. When, remember, Absalom was taken and killed. Then he cries and he mourns and he tells you when he sinned, he tells his sin, when he hold his sin without confession, when he confessed the freedom that he had. And so the Bible did not hide anything from David's life. And even though he did awful things, God said, this is a man after my own heart. And that's the key. David was a man after God's own heart. I remember when I was in seminary, in the graduating class, as a doctor, the professor was a tiny, short guy from Iowa, and he said, "Gentlemen, I want you to open John 1:6." And John 1:6 said, "There was a man that came from God. His name was John." And he said, "Now God said that out of the women, there is no one born like John. But God said there was a man, John." Then guys, your doctor degree tomorrow, this means nothing. You're a man. You're a man. And why? How wonderful to be instructed in that way and to be instructed to reality. And so the accounts of David's life is the accounts of our life, the up and downs of our life and our relationship to God. All right. The next step will be the message on the book of Psalms. And there are three main thoughts in the book of Psalms that we will examine. The first one is this. The Messiah will be the shepherd of his people. And let's take a look in Psalm 23 and in verse 1. The Messiah will be the shepherd of his people. And we know this by heart. Psalm 23, everybody knows this by heart. And so Psalm 23 in verse 1, the Messiah will be the shepherd of his people. The Lord, and you see the Lord in capital letters, Jehovah is my shepherd. I shall not want. So the Messiah will be the shepherd of his people. Let's take a look as we compare these to the Gospel of John in chapter 10 in verse 11. John Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 11. And you will see then that fulfillment, the Lord is my shepherd, is right here. Jesus says, I am, which is the word Lord. Remember? Remember that we study on the first commandment that the word Jehovah is the word I am, and the word I am is Jesus. I am Jehovah, the good shepherd. The good shepherd give his life for the sheep. And so we have here the first thought that the Messiah will be a shepherd of his people. See, Israel thought the Messiah will be a king, and indeed is a king, but there will be a political king, power in this world. And the Bible blossomed saying he will be a shepherd. Now, if you said, we have people here, and somebody says, oh, I'm a doctor. The other say, I'm a mechanic. I'm an accountant. I'm this and the other. And somebody said, oh, I'm a farmer. It looks low. See, oh, I'm just picking tomatoes. We say, oh, what a low job. But that's what shepherd is in Hebrew. The Lord of the Lord of the Lord of the jobs is the job of the shepherd. And how wonderful that Jesus took that humble position, the shepherd. The second thought, the Messiah will be the king of his people. Let's go to Psalm 132. Psalm 132 and verse 11. In Psalm 132, and in verse 11, we read, the Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. In other words, God said to David, out of your loins will come somebody that will sit in the throne as king of Israel. If you compare to the Gospel of John, at the moment of the crucifixion, in Acts chapter 18, verse 36 and verse 37, Jesus is confronted by Pilate. And Pilate is going to, thank you, my brother, Pilate is going to really work on Jesus. And in verse 35, Pilate answers, am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? This is the moment of the trial. And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jew. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And here's the great question. In verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And the answer will give you the Jesus was a king or not. Jesus said, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. In other words, he was born to be a king. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hear my voice. And so Jesus testified that he is that king, prophesied in Psalm 132, verse 11, that out of the loins of David, a king will sit in the throne. And so Jesus made that statement. And so that thought is in the book of Psalms very well recorded. And there is a third thought in the book of Psalms, the Messiah will be resurrected. And that's an impressive thought. It's in Psalm 16 and verse 10. Psalm 16 and verse 10, the scripture reads in this way, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. So Jesus was never discomposed in the tomb. He never saw corruption. And the prophecy about the resurrection is clear. We studied this afternoon in our class on what the Bible said, that the only way you can have illumination is when the Holy Spirit illuminates your heart. All the Jews have this scripture in plain Hebrew, and they never understood the resurrection because God has not illuminated their heart. We go to the famous statement of Jesus in John Gospel in chapter 11 and in verse 25, where the women, the sisters of Lazarus, are asking Jesus. See, Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise, talking about Lazarus, again in the resurrection at the last day. And then Jesus makes this remarkable statement. I am the resurrection and the life. Again, I am Jehovah. I'm the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. But then continues the verse, and whosoever live and believe in me shall never die. And then the key question, believest thou this? Those people who are hyper-Calvinists do not ask questions of people to believe. And Jesus asked somebody, believest thou this? So a pastor will start making questions like that in his sermons. After I finish the commandments, I will have topical sermons in the morning, which will end to the target to confront people with Christ and asking the question then, do you believe it or not? So when they leave this place, they know in their heart if they believe it or don't. This is not philosophy. This is life and death. And we need to challenge people to believe. And Jesus did. He said, believest thou this? And the resurrection. And so the psalm had these three main thoughts. The Messiah will be resurrected. Now, that's a thought that nobody think about. Can you imagine? Never saw. Well, they saw some experiences in Elijah who was missed, and a lot of people were out. Remember, there were three people in the Old Testament that were not counted. But that the man will resurrect, come on. And then Jesus fulfilled that command. Now, our next step is the Messiah will be the shepherd of his people. And that's the lesson that I want to drill into our heart. The other is just a general information about the book of Psalms. But let's study this one. The Messiah will be the shepherd of his people. And here is the key. As a shepherd, he lead us. So now I'm going to dwell in Psalm 23. So we will move to Psalm 23. And draw the lesson, the typology of Jesus as the shepherd of Israel. Psalm 23, in verse 2 and verse 3, as a shepherd, he will lead us. Now, verse 2 said, he maketh me to lay down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness, for his name's sake. See, in verse 2, he said, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me to peace. And then in verse 3, he said, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness. If we follow Jesus, we're going to be doing the righteousness of Christ. He leadeth. Now, this is the statement from the book of Psalms that distinguish the characteristics of the Messiah. You put one hand in the book of Psalm 23, and you go to John Gospel in chapter 10. Here is the famous statement of Jesus. And let me start reading from verse 1 so you get the background. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm reading John 10 and verse 1. He that enter not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enter in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. You know, I thought that many churches who do not have shepherds, actually the physical pastors, they are at the mercy of Satan to come in and teach any kind of thing. Now, verse 3, to him the porter open, and the sheep hear his voice, and he called his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. That's the statement of salvation. The shepherd calls you. How call you? How call me? Verse 4, and when he put down for his own sheep, he goes before them. And what the sheep do? They follow him. For what? They know his voice. Now, this is not literally that you don't want to hear Jesus coming from the roof and say, Jimmy. No, you're never going to have that, Jimmy. But I tell you something, Jimmy, if you read the Bible, you're going to hear Jesus, see, talking to you. And so some people have gone to that extreme. You know, it's so ridiculous, but some people went into that extreme, and our Pentecostals, the brethren, and the hard line of the Pentecostals, the pastor will come to the pulpit with no sermon prepared because God's going to bring a voice to him and speak. And I feel sorry for that kind of lack of interpretation in the scripture. He said he goes before them. It's not like the American shepherd who goes behind the sheep. He goes in front of the sheep. See, and then he leadeth them because the sheep knows his voice. I know when I am in front of a Christian because I understand the scripture. See, a Christian understands the scripture. He hears the voice of Christ. He may obey or disobey, but he understands the scripture. So here's his first point. The second point is, as a shepherd, he enabled us to go on. Let's go to Psalm 23 in verse 5. It says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now, oil is a picture of in the Old Testament of the Holy Spirit. All over the Old Testament, Samuel anoints the kings with oil, saying God's approval. And God's approval is the presence of the Holy Spirit. So the shepherd enables us to go on. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Can you believe it? If I'm teaching in a regular church, I cannot do that because people don't know where Ephesians is. And I got calls and we took another call today. People want our Bible because they want to know where are the books in the Bible. And they like that we give our page number. And so now we get calls. People say, will you send us a Bible so that we can find out what it is? So imagine how far is the crescendo gone, you know? Here it is, Ephesians 5 and verse 18. And be not drunk with the wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you. Now, how you become filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you crawl around the building 7 times, or you jump up and down? What do you do to be filled with the Holy Spirit? All right, chapter 4 in Ephesians, and verse 30, tell you something that will stop the Holy Spirit to act in you. See, the Holy Spirit is in you already. But chapter 4, verse 30 tells you what will stop. As you know, chapter 4 in Ephesians is talking about sin and put off sin. And look at what sin does in our life. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. What means to be grieving something? What do you think the word grieving means? Do not grieve. Without thinking in the Greek. What do you think when you say, "Oh, I'm grieved"? What am I saying? Upset, sorrowful, in pain. See, the word grieve. You know when you got a can of Coca-Cola, you finish, put it on the floor, and you smash it like this, so to put it for later on, you sell it. All right? That's what the word grieve. Do not smash like this the Holy Spirit to the point that he's down there. What an effect. How we do that when we sin? And so if we do not sin, if we keep our target and careful to fear God and to walk with God, the Holy Spirit will lead us. The Holy Spirit has a complete open mind to us and revealed to us what is right and what is wrong. Okay? The Holy Spirit. But if you put the Holy Spirit away, that's it. Now, I'm getting ahead. I'm getting really ahead. But suppose Anthony is 19 years old. How old are you now? 15? 12. I'm getting way ahead. 19 years old. And I'm still your pastor. He's 7 years from now. Ooh, that will be an old man. 73. All right. And he came to my office and said, "Pastor, you can't believe it. I saw this girl, is blonde, blue eyes, tall, and she's so intelligent and wonderful. I'm in love." "Oh, fantastic." I said, "What church does she go?" He said, "Oh, no, she has to go to the church." I said, "Well, sit down, Anthony, and let me show you 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be yoked, unequally yoked, blah, blah, blah." And Anthony said, "Oh, I know that, Pastor, but, you know, I like this girl." Now, that's what sin is. We believers know what is right and wrong, but we like more one. So now Anthony is in trouble here because if he obeyed God, it's lived by the Spirit. But he, and always I ask myself, why do we have that power? We can say no to the Holy Spirit and then disobey. We smash the Holy Spirit. Anthony married this girl. 2 years later, she divorced him. He ruined his life. See that? He ruined his life. Do we blame God? No, we blame the Holy Spirit was leading him. The scripture said, don't do that. But he said, "Well, you know, but I like it." And so that's the point. As a shepherd, he enabled us to go on. See, he lead us. He prepared a table for us. That's the entire scripture. Table is a word for a bound of law. He prepared the law for us. He gave us all the information we needed. But if we do not obey it, he cannot obey for us. There is a wrong teaching also with Mr. Camping. In the sense that he said, you don't have to believe Christ believed for you. Bologna. You have to believe it. Believe me. See, Abraham said the scripture believes God and was counted for righteousness. That's in Genesis 15:6 and in Romans 4:6. So you have to believe it. So here is the gorgeous information. As a shepherd, he lead us. As a shepherd, he enable us. One more. As a shepherd, he will not leave us. That's a good one. Psalm 23:4. As a shepherd, he will not leave us. Chapter 23:4. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod, which is the law, and thy staff, they comfort me. Wow, look at that. And look at verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He will never leave me. Never leave me. I want to show you two scriptures that Jesus fulfilled in that. One very well known in Matthew 28. After he commissioned the disciples to go on in life and to create the local churches by making disciples. In chapter 28, in way in verse 20, the very last verse, Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of, the King James said, world, unto the end of the age, unto the end of this period called the period of the church where Christ will come and rescue his church. And I will be there with you. I will not leave you. Now more. In Hebrews chapter 13, the scriptures also reveal these. And in verse 8, these are the words of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. There is no moment of your life where the church of God will be at the mercy of Satan, not the church of God. Now, churches who are a fake, certainly they are at the mercy of Satan, but not the real church of God. The real church of God, your own home, when you have Christ as King, that will be forever. You don't have to tremble. And so, as a shepherd, he leads us. He enabled us to go on by getting the Holy Spirit to show us the way. And then we have the certainty that Christ will never leave us as a body of believers. Now we go to the next step, which is, that's it? All right. I forgot all my notes, so I'm teaching you without the notes. But I tell you what it is. The next step is this. What are we going to do with this shepherd? See how this shepherd will come into our life. Let's go to John 10 again, because I want to show you the real thinking of Jesus. In verse 11, he said, I am, in John 10, the good shepherd, and the good shepherd give his life for the sheep. But then he said in verse 17, therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. So he has saved us. And then verse 18 said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, Jesus is calling the Bible. Remember these two verses, verses 17 and 18. In order to be a chief shepherd, you need to have a continuous power. Now, the word pope means the chief shepherd. And so, Roman Catholicism have made a man a chief shepherd. But this, let me show you in 1 Peter, in chapter 5, in verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 4, who is the chief shepherd? Chapter 5, verse 4, the Bible said, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, Jesus, he, said the Bible, he shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, Jesus is the chief shepherd. I'm an under shepherd, it's called in the Bible. So 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 4 declares that, yes, there is a chief shepherd. There is an order in which we belong to. And that chief shepherd is Jesus. And anybody under that is another shepherd. So much that Peter show you. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, whom also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And here is the job of a pastor. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy look, but of ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. That's the work of a pastor. And then said, if you do the job, then the chief shepherd will come in, which is no man, it's Jesus. So he is our chief shepherd. And see, he is the shepherd of Israel, but he's also the shepherd of his church. And we better follow him. And I better teach about him. And I better proclaim him left and right all the time. Because if I don't do that, then I become a chief shepherd myself. And that's not possible. If I make the statements that, well, Christ needs to be honored and glorified and presented as a crown in every sermon and every teaching, then he's teaching. He's becoming a shepherd. See, that's what I'm so hot about, presenting Jesus in every corner of the scripture. He is the shepherd. He is the guy. We better follow. Now, young people, you have an option. You can obey or disobey. If you disobey, you can make a mess of your life. The shepherd will have mercy on you and pick up the pieces. But let me tell you something. This door looks very good. But if I put 4 or 5 nails here, you say, oh, I don't like it. Then I pull the nails out, what is left? The holes. I can patch the holes and paint it. But later on, what happened? The marks will come in because it's a different texture. And that's what sin does in our life, marks our life with pain. And as we grow older, we hate what we have done. So the marks are there just to remind us, don't do it. And so avoid it. Follow the shepherd, and you will avoid all kinds of marks, and we shine for Jesus. People say, that's impossible. What about Daniel? What about Daniel? He was a young man, 17, 18, when he was taken. No one word against Daniel in the Bible. No one word. So let all of you be Daniel, all right? Thank you, Father. Thank you that we got a shepherd, Jesus Christ our Lord. I got someone who oversees my life, Jesus Christ the shepherd. Help me always, O Father, to humble before him and to do the ministry under his leadership, to use the scripture and the value of your law to enhance the life of your people and to show information to those who are unbelievers so that the Holy Spirit may illuminate their heart and come to believe. Thank you for our missionaries who also are under shepherds. Thank you for every Sunday school class teacher who is also an under shepherd, teaching them to observe your word. Thank you, Father, that we believe Jesus is the shepherd of our life. In Jesus we thank you. Amen.